It's time to bring you inside the Toronto-Waterloo Innovation Corridor. Join host Todd Cooney and co-host Dean Mariani as they chat with CEOs, founders, and disruptors, some of the most influential people in this tech ecosystem. This is the Startups to Scale-Ups podcast.
Today we are sitting down with one of my favorite thought leaders and tech influencers in the Waterloo region, CEO and founder from Nicoya Life Sciences, Ryan Dennelme. Why don't you give us a little bit of background about you coming out of UAW and the experience that you had there and how Nicoya was formed?
Yeah, definitely. So I went to UW in the nanotechnology engineering program. So we were the very first class in that program. So, you know, could have already starting at the forefront of technology with that program. And that was really what prepared me well for, you know, being an entrepreneur, because it's a very, very diverse program where you learn a ton of different things and you have to be really good at solving problems in a wide, you know, variety of different areas. So I feel like that's a really good, you know, prep for going into entrepreneurship. So after, you know, I finished my undergrad at Waterloo, I stayed into the master's as well in a sensors lab in mechanical engineering. And that was really where like the initial technology and ideas like started forming for Nicoya. So I spent a couple of years doing research on biosensor technologies and realized there was a great opportunity to commercialize some of the stuff that I was working on. And so that was really the beginning of the company. So we applied for some startup funding through UW and FedDev, and ended up, you know, getting that first 60K to start building prototypes and start doing the R&D. And yeah, the rest is history. So that was in about 2012. So we're about 6 years in now.
And we're what you call a white buffalo, or the local hat trick, as we like to call it. You kind of went through the Accelerator Center, over to Velocity, ran through the REV program. So you've seen it all. So talk about the importance of kind of each of those individual steps and stepping stones for Nicoya as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. Those are all super important, you know, programs at different stages of the company's life cycle. So the AC was kind of the first program we went into, and it was really good for just learning about, you know, the most important parts of the business and like building a really good foundation for the company. And then we were lucky enough to join the UW Velocity program later on when we needed to move into some more, you know, manufacturing and lab space. And they had a great facility that was being built for that. So we were one of the first tenants to join that program. And so that was really good because it gave us this really low cost space that we could take advantage of and, you know, put all of our, you know, the rest of our money towards, you know, building our product and trying to find the right people and trying to get, you know, our sales team off the ground. So that was a, you know, a really great transition point for us. And then we got into the Communitech Rev program, and that really helped us build up our sales and marketing team and figure out exactly how to build a repeatable and scalable sales model that, you know, has changed a lot over the last couple of years, but a lot of the fundamentals are still there.
So talk a little bit about even pre-university days, growing up as a young child, like, you know, when did you start getting passionate about this field? You know, what was the influence? And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in a really small town. So it was like a couple hundred people probably near Grand Bend. So I was always like surrounded by a lot of people that were entrepreneurs, just because there's not like a ton of industry in those smaller towns, right? So you have a lot of people running small businesses. You know, I worked for small businesses. My mom and dad had their own business for a while. So I was sort of always in the, you know, the entrepreneurship kind of lifestyle. Obviously not really tech, but very much like that whole idea of, you know, building your own business and mm-hmm. being responsible for, you know, everything that you're doing. So I kind of had that influence from, you know, very, very early on. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was really passionate about entrepreneurship going through university and then eventually starting Nicoya. But yeah, it was a really good environment that, you know, I had a really good like high school that was like in terms of just training and letting you get exposed to different things, which was super valuable. And they were always like really encouraging to, you know, just figure out what you were passionate about and then, you know, help you pick the courses and everything to actually be successful in that. So I had a lot of good friends too that were, I'm really passionate about like engineering, and that helped me like choose what kind of program I wanted to go into when I was looking at the different schools and stuff like that. And I always had like tons and tons of business ideas growing up, but my parents like just like rejected all of them.
What was the best one as a kid?
So probably one of the best ones I had was I wanted to start like when paintball started getting super popular. I wanted to start like, and I was like pretty like internet savvy, so I could like find all the reviews, like find the best like products, and like I wanted to start sort of like a business around that and like helping people to like, you know, get the best parts for their paintball guns and then and like how to maintain them and all this kind of stuff. So kind of like, yeah, it's super nerdy and weird, but
I love it. So given your interest in biotech and nanotechnology, you know, knowing this is a high barrier to entry into this space, talk a little bit about how Nicoya is funded and how you were able to scale to compete in this space.
Yeah, so early on we had a lot of government funding that we utilized in the first like 2 years of the business to do a lot of the basic R&D and product development. That was really critical because that's sort of like the riskiest part of the business, right? Is that first kind of year and a half of when you're building this product and it's super unknown whether it's going to work, and then unknown if people are going to want to buy it and pay for it. So that was pretty valuable, probably $200,000 in just you know, government funding to get us to that point of having a working prototype that we could then bring out and start to sell to some customers. So we did that really, really efficiently. In terms of like the costs, so that we were in a position to have like a functional product prior to having to raise any like private investment at all. So that's kind of the way we did it, was sort of bootstrapping it for that first 2 years and then getting to the point of having a product that we could actually put in front of customers. So once we did that, you know, we were able to get some early revenue, which attracted the investors and allowed us to get our first round of funding to build the next generation of the product and really start building out the team to, you know, take it from an idea that had some potential to you know, a real business. So once we got that first round of investment, we used it to scale up our team and really build out our sales and marketing organization and really, you know, refine the product so that we could match the needs of the customers we were trying to sell to. And then we focused really, really heavily on building a profitable company from that point on. We wanted to be a company that could be, you know, sustained by our own sales and marketing efforts. And that's what we did. So a couple of years later, we got to that point. And then just recently we did raise some more funding just to help, you know, accelerate the next generation of products that we're building. But there certainly are a lot of barriers in you know, a hardware company. To begin with, you know, you have a lot of costs of building and prototyping and inventory and all that. But if you add in like the biotech and the med tech side of it, it adds even more costs. So that's always something that you have to be conscious of when you're, you know, budgeting things out and trying to raise money. You want to get as far as you can with the money you have before you have to really incur some of those really big costs.
And just give a brief overview of you know, what Nicoya does and what's the problem you're looking to solve.
Yeah, definitely. So we make scientific instruments that help scientists to get the data they need to make their next big discovery. So basically, these are biotech researchers who need to understand, you know, at the molecular level, what's going on with, you know, this disease or this, you know, genetic mutation. And our instrument basically allows them to get really, really detailed data on what's happening at the molecular level. And, you know, this concept and these instruments have been around for like 20 years, but they've traditionally cost like $500,000 in order to, you know, to get this product in your lab. So a lot of people can't afford it. So they never do the measurements. They never get that data. And that really like holds back the pace of innovation, the pace of discovery that they could otherwise achieve. So our products, you know, 10 to 20 times less expensive. So it's something that researchers can have in their own lab, lets them get really detailed data, stuff they could never get before. And that really accelerates that pace of innovation.
Talk a little bit about kind of your ideal customer, because I know you're North America going global. You know, is it academic institutions? You know, what's the ideal kind of end consumer for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So our current product today is really well suited for small to medium sized biotech companies, as well as academic researchers and government researchers. A lot of them are in the biotech industry or in biotech research, things like drug development, understanding diseases, understanding like different aspects of molecular biology and genetics. So it covers a really wide range of applications from, you know, very basic research to full on, you know, drug development.
And why, so in terms of the Waterloo region, you know, obviously being a grad, it makes sense to stay here, but, you know, just talk about the region as a whole and the tech environment and the ecosystem.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I was attracted to Waterloo initially because of the engineering programs. Like, they're easily some of the best in the world. So that's like an obvious choice to come here for that. But I really stayed because of the startup ecosystem. So there's so many companies that you could look up to and that were maybe 1 or 2 years ahead of you. And you could go to them for advice, and everyone was like genuinely wanting to help you be successful. There was no other like motive there. It was like, hey, I was in your position a year, 2 years ago. I know how it is. Like, let me help you out. So that was like having that support, especially the first like couple of years of starting a business, is like so important. Otherwise, you know, you'll probably give up because it is super hard, and you don't, you know, maybe understand that the problems you're facing aren't unique. A lot of people have had these same challenges. So if you can hear that from people and get advice on how to get through it, that's like such a critical thing. And I find that that's a really big strength of this region, is people with that experience and willing to lend that experience to people who are, you know, who are newer to the scene. So, you know, just having that support through all the different programs we went through, I thought was really important. And, you know, in the early stages, you have different problems than we're at now, but there's always people that are a little bit ahead of you. So you can always go to them and say, hey, when you were trying to hire like 10 people, or you were trying to scale your company, what kind of problems were you running into when you went from, you know, 10 to 20 or from 50 to 100? So you can always find someone that is at the right stage to help you out.
Yeah, it's funny. We always ask this question, you know, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? You know, looking back at kind of all the ups and downs, all the obstacles, trials and tribulations, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Yeah, so I think the biggest piece of advice I would think I would give myself is just like, don't doubt yourself. It's so easy to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I have no idea if this will be successful. And the reality is like, you don't know that, but if you just believe you'll be successful and you believe that you can do anything and you try your hardest at it and you get people around you that believe it, then like anything's possible. So if you can take out that self-doubt as early as possible, it will help you make decisions way faster and help you be like committed to making your company successful.
And talk about how important the community is to you, and is there anything you guys are doing within the community to kind of give back?
Yeah, definitely. So we're getting into a lot of different like events and programs that are in the region now. So as a team, we're going to go volunteer at the House of Friendship and help out there. We're doing, and we have done various like bike rides for charity events in the past. So we have a lot of people on the team that are super active and athletic and like doing these kind of things. So yeah, we're always looking for opportunities where we can help in the community and help, you know, help grow things outside of just tech, and, you know, try and help people across all the different sectors of the region.
Dive into kind of the leadership style that you have, and obviously you created an incredible culture here at Nicoya. Obviously it comes from top down. Talk a little bit about that and what you guys do.
Yeah, definitely. So I think myself as a leader, I try and set an example that, you know, anything is possible, and we should not be afraid of making mistakes or failing at something. And it's totally okay to like take some risks, because we want to move, you know, super fast as a company, and we want to be able to grow fast. And this means you have to make decisions without all of the information. So you are for sure going to have some times where you make the wrong call because you can't wait around to get 100% of the information you need to make that decision. So I try and, you know, set that example that it is okay to like make mistakes, and you shouldn't be afraid of that. So on top of that, you know, I'd say we're also like a pretty competitive culture, like in terms of outside the company. Like, we do really want to be like the number one company in this industry. We're not here for second place, as we say. So, you know, that's something that drives us as a team to try and achieve that goal. And I think that we have a lot of good traits within the organization that help us achieve that. So, you know, everyone's super hardworking, but we also really value and put a lot of effort into making sure people are like healthy and happy as well. So there's lots of stress, but we want to do a lot of things to make sure people can handle that, you know, in the best way possible, because if people aren't happy and healthy, they're not going to be their most productive self. So, that's something we're always looking to focus on. We also are a big fan of just like learning and developing. So I'd say we're very growth mindset oriented here. So there's nothing you can't learn. You know, there's no skill or no technique that you can't learn with some time and some training. So we're always like looking to help people develop and get the skills they want to like further their career and also help the company grow.
As you're growing, you know, we're getting north of 20 employees now. Talk a little bit about retaining and attracting kind of the top talent within the region, and how have you found, you know, getting the right pieces to the puzzle for you to grow your business?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the most important things that we've started to realize as a company, that finding the right people and attracting them is like a challenge. So first of all, you need, you know, people to know about your company in the first place. And then once they do know about it, then you need to, you know, attract them to come work for you versus one of the many other like great companies in town. So, you know, something that sets us apart a little bit, I think, is that we have a very like biotech focused business. So people that are interested in that and have maybe a background in it or are passionate about it, we're sort of, we stand out, I think, from a lot of the other companies in town. So I think naturally we attract people who are passionate about that, which helps them, you know, want to work here and helps us retain them, because we're helping them, you know, fulfill that passion. But it certainly is like one of the challenges that we have to deal with, I think, and every company in the region is dealing with, especially when we look for people that have really, really specific technical skills. So that can be a bit challenging to find here. So then you do have to look, you know, outside of the region and see how can you recruit them to come to KW. So.
Back again to leadership, is there anyone growing up or anyone in general that kind of influenced your style, or anyone you kind of look up to in that sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of it was shaped by the companies that I met when I started the business. So I think like tech leadership is a really unique thing, and so it's really good if you can learn from people that have built successful companies in the past. So, you know, there was a number of people that I worked with in the first like year of Nicoya, where I think it's kind of like when you're a kid, right? And your brain just absorbs like everything, because it's just like, so everything's so new. So I think in the first year or two of starting a business, like those maybe five or six people that you come to rely on for a lot of advice, those will really, really shape how your company is run in the next like 4 to 5 years. So yeah, there's a ton of like mentors through the AC and through UW, and then a number of like the companies in town. People like Armin from IntelliJoin, for example, was someone we chatted with a lot in the early days at the AC, because they were in the building and they had a med tech company, you know, with hardware. So very, a lot of similarities there. So, you know, a lot of opportunity to interact with them in environments like the Accelerator Center. So
now getting a little back into kind of the culture, and you know, you guys do the board games, you got the ping pong table, but one thing I got to know about is Nicoya Olympics. what is that? And, you know, give us a little breakdown of,
where did we sign up?
Yeah. So we started the Nicoya Olympics when, like the Winter Olympics were on, is a little like sales team challenge. So every week we would have basically we would look at three or four different like sales metrics, and whoever won each one of those got like a prize and like a little trophy. And it was just like a little thing to do for fun, just to like change things up and keep it interesting, inspired by the Olympics. So some pretty awesome prizes, like, you know, Grand Trunk gift cards.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Good cocktails. Is that one of the hotspots for the company?
Yeah. I think it's one of the places people like to head to. Beer Town's another one. People like to head there, have a beer, do some work, Smile Tiger, Balzac's. So
talk about, you know, the amenities in and around kind of the innovation district where you are. Do you think that brings, you know, companies like yourselves together more so? You run into them in Smile Tiger. Is there the ability to kind of bounce ideas off of, you know, not just friends, but also, you know, other owners, other entrepreneurs that are in town here?
Yeah, definitely. I think those places like restaurants and you know, coffee places and bars, they're opportunities for meeting people in just like casual settings, which I think is different than meeting people at like a networking event or another type of event. You know, you can connect with them and just have a really casual conversation about, you know, what they might be working on or struggling with. And it's, I think those kind of just random interactions are super important to like building the community up. So you're not forcing people to interact like you are maybe at like an event. This is like, you have a choice if you want to connect with that person or not when you see them in like a coffee shop. So I think that like the fact that we're not in such a huge city that you can have that happen, like you can run into people all the time, just casually, I think it really helps build that sense of community around here.
Nice. And without giving away any secrets, what's kind of the vision, you know, 5-10 years down the road? Like, where do you guys want to see yourselves?
Yeah, definitely. So, like I mentioned, we're not here for second place. So, you know, it's our mission to become the number one company in the sector. So, you know, what that means for us is that we'll have, you know, our instrument on every single lab bench and every, you know, every university biotech lab will have one. Every biotech company will have one. And they'll be able to use that to make some real differences in the world for people. So this is things like, you know, understanding diseases and developing drugs to help cure those diseases. So, you know, I think whenever we see our instrument being used to, you know, have an impact in like cancer research, it's such a rewarding experience for everyone at the company. And I think, you know, we'll just keep seeing more and more of that. And that's what helps drive us to want to be so successful, because you're seeing this, you know, real impact of what we're doing in people's lives. So I think, you know, in 5 to 10 years, we want to be able to say, hey, like those five, you know, therapeutics or those five drugs were developed using, you know, instruments that we made. So
it's incredibly rewarding. Like you guys all have something incredibly proud to be a part of. Let's kind of dive into you as the entrepreneur. Kind of what makes you tick? What gets you excited every day? Is it that vision? Is it that mission? Or, you know, give me a little insight into, you know, your day as a CEO.
So I'm like super competitive. So just like that's always been a thing for me. So I think that's really good for entrepreneurship as well. And as a CEO, you know, you want to be the best at everything. So even like, you know, when you're competing with your own sales team, like we still have competitions to see like who can sell the most product and stuff like that. So that's like a really fun thing. I think that helps like motivate everyone. But yeah, I think in terms of you know, how I try and be a CEO and like a leader for the team, it's really just leading by example. So you know, if we're on a really tight deadline and people are working late, like I'm going to be there the whole time, even if I can't help for whatever reason. Like if I can't, you know, if I can't help, I'll still be there just like try and support the team and do what I can. So I think that's like really important. Another thing is like, I'm really motivated by like technology as well. So, I mean, I'm an engineer obviously, so I understand the technology, and again, it's kind of this competitive side. It's like, I want to be able to build, you know, the most sensitive, the most high performing instruments out there. And I'm just genuinely interested in like the new technology that will come out that we can apply to, you know, our product. And a lot of that is, you know, coming from advances in like consumer electronics, for example. All the optical advances for cameras and everything have allowed us to make our product better. So just like seeing all that connect and applying that to our product is something that really like drives me as well.
And what about away from the business? Like what you know, what makes you tick there? What are you passionate about?
Yeah. So, I mean, the business takes up a lot. but I'm pretty passionate about baseball. Like I'm a big Blue Jays fan. So
big game last night.
Yeah. Big win last night. Yeah. So that was awesome. So yeah, that's one thing, especially like just throughout the summer and the fall and stuff. It's awesome just to be able to like, you know, sit back, relax, watch the game for a couple hours, but also be able to like do work simultaneously, because you don't have to watch like every single pitch.
Do you watch any of like the local baseball, the IBL? Get your opinion.
I haven't really got into any of that, but yeah. Definitely like interested. Maybe we'll do a company outing or something.
There you go. Yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing. And like I also like biking, so like a lot of trails. around KW that are awesome to bike on. Like I can bike from the office to my house on trails completely, which is super cool, through Victoria Park. So that's just like a really good thing to do on the way in and the way out of work. It's like super de-stressing and just lets you just think about stuff and enjoy it. Enjoy Victoria Park. So
don't need to worry about parking costs either. So
exactly.
It's great. It's great. Talk about a little bit, you know, books, podcasts. What are you into? What do you read? Any influential?
Yeah, for sure.
Media so on that end.
The most recent book I read, I think, was The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah.
Which is a really good one. But I read a lot of just like biographies and autobiographies of like other tech entrepreneurs. So like the Amazon books, like Tesla books, Elon Musk's like story, the Google story, kind of like all of those are just like so interesting. And there's one of the best ones I read was, I think last year, the Nike one called Shoe Dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, just incredible like reading, book. Yeah, like reading the difficulties that these huge companies now went through when they were just like, you know, five people in a garage trying to build up a company is just like so interesting, and understanding that they had some of the same problems that you have. And it's like really inspirational to see that, you know, they got through all of that and probably dealt with even like more challenging situations and were still able to become these huge, you know, billion-dollar companies. So I really like reading those. I think there's lots of like lessons in there, but they're also just like really interesting stories.
Yeah, it's motivating. Like Phil Knight to see kind of, you know, what he went through in his journey to get, you know, obviously the biggest footwear company of all time.
Yeah.
Is a phenomenal one. And you're going to do that, right, in your biotech world. And we're excited for you. We really appreciate you sitting down with us today. And obviously wish you guys the best success in 2018.
Thanks. Yeah, it was great chatting with you guys.
Nicoya Life Sciences has the world's first service plasma and resonance instrument designed for the individual researcher at the comfort of their own bench. Used by over 500 plus innovative researchers worldwide, you can see what the team is up to and visit them at nicoyalife.com. Thank you again to a great client and friend, Ryan, for sharing his journey and talking with us today. If you or your company would like to be featured on Startups to Scale-Ups, please reach out to me at todd.cooney@cbre.com, or you can DM us at Office Corridor Group. Thanks, and hope you enjoy the episode.
Thank you for listening to the Startups to Scale-Ups podcast with CBRE's Office Corridor Group. If you know of an incredible founder or tech influencer that should be showcased on our podcast, you can reach us on Instagram at Office Corridor Group or email todd.cooney@cbre.com. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe for more episodes and leave a review.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.